Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bulldog Yoga, Cubo AI, and BetterHelp. And we are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
because
we stay.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Robin. We're in the same room.
We're in the same room.
So weird.
We've done some like interviewee things, but we haven't been in the same room.
A single one.
Not an episode
a
in a while.
Oh my God.
So I'm like looking at your face instead of like a computer.
I was
it's
actually
weird.
Just thinking in the bathroom. On the toilet this morning. I don't know why I have to add that fact.
Why
did
we
I
didn't
feel
need
the
to know
need
that.
Even,
we
but
not.
That's where I was sitting, and I was thinking, I'm going to Robin's. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be weird. And then I was
it's weird that you're thinking this while you're on the toilet. But go ahead, go ahead.
And then I had the realization that we haven't had a guest in person for over a year, yep. and I was thinking how weird it's going to be back. Like, remember we used to like hang out with them after,
like.
It would be like we were best friends by the end. And
we still feel like we're best friends, even over Zoom.
But we were in the same room. And like,
I know.
It's going to be so weird. And then I was like, are we ever going to go back to that?
I don't know.
Because now we've kind of like got a rhythm
yeah,
with
like,
this.
Also, it takes less time and all that jazz. But
and asking someone to come all the way to us to like etch out 3 hours of their day.
Yeah. I think most people aren't going to want to do it. Yeah.
I know, but it's so nice to be in person. But
the world changed.
It sure
you know
did.
What I mean? Like
oh
the world,
God.
I'm like obsessively, I'm sitting at my dining room table and I keep putting my elbows down and there's some sticky nonsense
something
for my
sticky?
Children and I can't get it. So I'm just like obsessively cleaning. I look a little crazy. Jamie, you know what? I wanted to talk to you about, we have this
You didn't tell me this was coming.
She doesn't know where I'm going. Jamie, I'd like to talk about my feelings about our relationship right now.
I know, because we have had that conversation.
No. I would not do that on air. No, I was going
to
say.
Something I wanted to talk to you
No,
about.
I was going
to
say, our weekly live stream, one of the, you know, we have a much broader conversation on the live stream. It's not just about our families. We talk like pop culture. We talk LGBTQ families. We talk parenting a lot. Mm-hmm. We talk about women's health a lot health in general, but mostly women's health.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite hot topics, because we have hot topics. And that's what Jamie does every time. And I love it. But one of my favorite ones
is what
are we watching? And you just came in and like a house on fire or a barn on fire. What's that saying?
I did. Listen, there's a new show I'm watching. Mm-hmm. Anne and I have been struggling to find a show to watch for a while. We're just not into anything. I want brainless, mindless entertainment. We don't like the same shows all the time. So anyway, Anne heard about this show, The Fall. It's totally her kind of show. It's like a cop show.
I love a good cop show.
They're trying to catch a dude or whatever. And I'm not into those kind. Like, I'm always like, oh, okay. So I acquiesced. Is that how you say that word? Acquiesced.
But I like acquiesced.
It's because I learned it. You know how like when you learn certain words from reading and you just say that. Anyway, so I acquiesced. That sounds more right. You're right. I acquiesced.
Because it is right.
Like begrudgingly acquiesced. And I was so annoyed that we were even starting it. And the first episode, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't, because it's really dark and it's kind of scary.
Ooh.
By the third episode, listen, guys.
You're all in.
Gillian Anderson.
Which, I mean.
I had never really watched her except Margaret Thatcher in The Crown recently. I have the hugest crush
Then you need to watch
Gillian
that
Anderson
show
now.
With her
She's
where
so
she plays
sexy.
A sex therapist.
Uh-oh.
It's her son like starts a business. I forget what that one's called.
Well, somebody look it up.
I
listen,
wish this
guys,
was a live stream. See, if this was a live stream, somebody would have looked it up because we never know.
We never know what we're doing. But so, guys, Gillian, I don't know how I'm. Is she gay? Is she not gay?
No,
I
no,
wish
she's
she
not.
Was gay. She should
Everybody
be gay.
Does. All lesbians
should be gay.
All lesbians. The fact that you're just coming to the Gillian Anderson party, like since Mulder and Scully, like
X-Files.
People, like lesbians have
not
been
my
like,
kind of show.
Oh my god, they've been like in love with her for 800 years. So you're just like late to the party.
So I have a huge crush on her now. I can't even handle Gillian, and I can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. It's like,
all right. I'm gonna have to check it out right now. I'm still stuck in Below Deck, and I blame my friend Heather. And anyone who watches our live stream understands that I don't do. Reality TV. I don't.
I
it's
do.
Like not my thing. My thing. I can't stand it. But I went to my friend Heather's. I turned on the TV and Bravo was on and it was in the middle of a marathon and I got stuck.
Yeah.
And I have, and now I'm on season 5. And I was so pissed because I finished season 4 and there was no reunion show. So I don't know really happened
behind
the scenes.
What are you going to do?
I know. I was like Google searching. I was like,
you need to watch The Fall. Anyway, let's talk about
Patreon. Let's talk about Patreon.
Okay. If you haven't become a Patreon member yet, you're going to want to do that.
Yeah, you want to join our community and you're going to help us make content for LGBTQ families, which is amazing.
It helps us pay for the podcast because we're still, you know.
Yeah, broke. But you also get bonus content.
You do.
At the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most all of our interviews and they're dropped a day early, which is pretty amazing. Uncut, unedited, no ads.
Yeah. And for those of you who are like my mom, maybe who have no idea what we're talking about, basically you go to this website and you follow us. You commit to a certain amount of dollars.
Like a tier donation.
Per month. And then it's like a social media page and all this content shows up for you. You know,
bonus content.
That's yours. That's bonus content. That's what this is. That's what we're
You could just
doing.
Go look at the page. You go see it. Go head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us or just look and see what's there. We have some stuff that's not behind a paywall that you can look at and see, get a sense of it.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Patreon. Okay. All right. Let's get to our guest.
Oh, I love these. I love
Kate
them.
And Claire.
Yes. They're
delightful.
So delightful.
Listeners emailed us and they were like, oh, our story's sort of boring, you know, but we would love to be on the podcast. Meanwhile, there is
nothing
at all boring about it. I mean, it couldn't be further from the truth. There was like 2 or 3 times that we were like, what?
I know.
That's a thing?
I know. And we learned two things.
Two new things that I recall. Yep.
Okay. We got some international UK knowledge because they're in the UK. And they also, they emailed us because they wanted to talk about kind of like what happens after you bring the baby home. And we were like, that's a great idea. We haven't done that. But then we got all up into their story, too. Oh. I mean, it's just...
I know. We could have talked to them for 17 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Helen, please. We had an argument earlier. Helen, I'm saying this as politely as I possibly can.
She already told me when I walked in the door. Yeah. She's coming to stay with me for a while.
Fine.
She can't
You should take her. You should take her. Helen, I would just like it if you could roll the tape now, please.
But Helen, you can't smoke in my house.
And you can't talk to me like that. I am your boss, even though we don't pay you. Thank you,
Helen. Just roll. Helen.
Just come on. Did you see the look she's giving me?
I know. She's so mad at you.
Fine. Hi, Kate and Claire.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome to Our Ovaries.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for reaching out and finding us.
We love your podcast. We listen to it all the time.
Big fan.
Yes.
I feel like we almost never get tired of hearing that, Jamie. Is that right?
No, really. Like, it's a problem. I want everybody in the world to say it to me all the time. And I'm sometimes baffled that they don't know who I am. I see a lesbian walking down the street now. And I'm like,
she's got to
know. How
did
they
me.
Not make eye contact with me? How do they not know it's me? And we're not that big. We're not that special.
We're really not at all.
But enough about us.
You two, should we start with the elevator pitch about you two?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
On your mark, get set.
Oh, God.
Go.
Hi, so we're Kate and Claire, and we live in Cornwall at the bottom of the UK. We've been together 12 years and married for 6. And pretty much straight after we got married, after our honeymoon, we started on our baby-making journey. So 2 laparoscopy operations, 3 fresh IVFs, 2 frozen, 2 transfers. What else? 3 endometrial scratches, a miscarriage, and finally in December, our son was born.
Yay! Oh.
That was very well done.
38 seconds, nearly.
You sounded so calm, too, during it.
Congratulations. December.
Thank you. December 2018. So he's 2 and a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're in it. You are in it.
Deep. You're deep with the toddlers.
Before we jump into that, I'm going to derail us one second. And I want to know what time it is for you guys right now.
It's 9 p.m.
Okay. It's very late for 2 moms. So we appreciate you being here.
He's also
us.
Taken to waking up at like 5:30 in the morning.
My son did that this morning. Doesn't end.
Just like straight back to bed. No, just go back to bed.
It doesn't end.
It does end. At some point, they'll just get up and put themselves on the TV if you're a really good mom.
Yeah.
Let's get into your process. Sounds like it was a bit of a journey.
Yeah, I think, you know, we went into it same as everyone else. You kind of go, hey, we're not, you know, we're not that old. We were
33 and 34.
Yeah. And we did reciprocal IVF. So I carried Claire's egg. Yeah, we kind of went into it thinking we haven't got any problems. Mm-hmm. We're fine. And then we went for our first scan and it kind of unraveled from there.
So they found a really massive thing, which they didn't say what it was.
They just stopped scanning.
Yeah, they went to scan, and then you know that awful moment when she says, "Oh, I'm just going to get the doctor."
Oh god, I hate that.
Oh no. Yeah.
Oh, god.
They found a really massive cyst. I think it was like 12 centimeters by 8.
That's a big cyst.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was in Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
And you already knew, like from the start, you were going to do reciprocal IVF.
Yeah, yeah, just because we wanted that, both to have that connection. And Kate always really wanted to experience being pregnant, and I wasn't that fussed either way. So, yeah, we just thought that would be the way for us.
So you were going in there to basically get started on retrieving eggs, basically.
Or just that first appointment to make sure they check all these parts.
That's right, yeah. And then she took my blood pressure after that, and she's like, oh, you have got high blood pressure.
And you had no symptoms? Like, didn't have, like, extreme periods or anything like that? You just...
No, I couldn't go very long without going for a wee. But apart from that, and that was the best thing when it got taken out, because we could do a certain set journey without having to stop to go to the toilet. Because it was just pushing on my bladder.
You're like, that explains so much.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have to say, our clinic as well, it's a 6-hour round trip from our house.
Oh, my God. So, and you did reciprocal.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of doctor's appointments.
But there was nothing near where you lived?
No, that's the closest.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's actually in Wales, which is another country in the UK.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that finding this derailed your timeline already, because you would have to have that removed and then heal and all that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I was freaking out because we did egg donation as well. I don't know if you have the same program in the US, but in the UK, if you're under 34, you can donate half of your eggs to someone else and get free IVF. You just pay for the drugs.
Really? That's amazing.
Wow.
We've never heard that before.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of like you're doing a good thing and then they'll make it free for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think initially like the money saving was the driver, but quite quickly actually it became like, even if this doesn't work for us, it's not a completely wasted effort. Yeah. Someone has a little sort of snapshot of hope from it as well. So yeah, we did it that way. So there was a bit of added pressure because we had to get collection in before I was 34. We had to quickly speed up the surgery, get there, are you better? Yeah, are the pictures okay? Yeah, send them to the clinic, right, go.
Wow.
That adds a stress level too, which I can't imagine was helpful.
No, not really, no. But I think like the first transfer we went into straight off the back of a holiday in Italy, we were drinking like 5 cups of coffee a day, loads of gelato, you know, all
big
the bad
Negronis. Italians.
Yeah, like everything. And we just skipped into our first round of IVF and then like, oh, it didn't work.
We were like, I don't know. I wonder why. We're doing everything right.
Yeah,
which, but you know,
downing
what?
The coffee as you do.
People get pregnant. Ladies get pregnant in Italy, or you know, people with wombs in Italy get pregnant, and they're eating all those foods. So it works. Yeah. You don't have to give up all that stuff.
No.
But I want to know how many eggs, like, since you were donating these eggs, how many eggs did you get, and how many did you end up donating?
You split them down the middle, so we got 14, and we got 7 each.
Wow,
that's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did. So we had one transferred and that didn't work. And then we had a frozen one transferred a couple of months later and that didn't work. So then we went back and had another retrieval. And because I'd managed to do it in my 34th year, they slightly changed the rules. They said you can try again and donate. And then halfway through that process, they said, oh, you're not responding that well. You might not be able to donate. So you can either stop or pay all the money, and you had like 24 hours to decide. And they said, we'll come back tomorrow.
By the way, that's like such legal mumbo jumbo. Like, oh, P.S. in the small print, if you're not doing well, you might have to pay for it. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was really awful, wasn't it? Yeah. It was on Valentine's Day.
Well, that's a good Valentine's Day for you.
We've had all the fun on the Valentine's days in that clinic. I had an endometrial scratch on Valentine's Day.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
what
I don't
that
know what that is either. How do you scratch
that
your insides?
Bad.
Well, they don't do it anymore, do they? I don't think
they don't do it so much. No, I think it's been disproved.
Basically, they just scratch your
endometrial lining.
Endometrial lining. So you know your legs in the stirrups, and they kind of put a hook in.
On purpose?
This sounds like a DNC. It's like...
Is this to help, in theory, to help implantation? Is that...
Yeah. So it's supposed to make the cells come and like go into some sort of...
Where the cells are repairing, it boosts and all that kind of new rejuvenation, I suppose, is welcoming. But I had it done, three times, twice. No, I've had it done 4 times. Because twice with a woman and twice with a man, and it hurt the most with the man.
Oh, really?
But the 2 times the guy did it, I got pregnant on both occasions. So, oh my God, that pain is because you're not like, you don't go under, you don't have any pain relief. They just say to you, just like take a paracetamol before you go in. And I think another nurse said to me, we had a really cool nurse at one of the clinics, and she said, just take a codeine like an hour before you go.
Don't listen to them. Take something stronger.
Good for her.
Yeah. And I did, and that was okay. But yeah, it happened one of the times it happened on Valentine's Day, and the guy like finished. And I looked at him and went, it's not what I expected on Valentine's Day, if I'm honest.
No.
I've never heard that as a treatment option.
I haven't heard that either. We're learning a bunch of firsts. Look at this. Okay.
I think they've kind of, there's not enough evidence to show that.
There was enough for the clinics to offer it for a while. And then I think they did some more studies and maybe said,
we're just hurting women for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had to pay for the privilege as well. Mm-hmm. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what, Robin?
No, I don't.
I did so much yoga when I was pregnant.
Okay, random.
I'm just thinking. I'm thinking about Bulldog Yoga, of course, and how it's actually a really great app for our community because especially since, you know, things are still mostly shut down, like yoga studios. I didn't run like I like to during pregnancy because I was afraid to run or do anything that could like harm the baby.
Yeah.
I was a little neurotic.
I mean, that's not funny, but it's funny. Sorry.
I know. Because you can run. So I was a yoga fiend, like for real.
That's interesting. I mean, very interesting, Jamie. But what I love about Bulldog Yoga Online is that it's about taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing it with music and smiles and no judgment.
I love that too. It is very accessible. And Bulldog Online is about making yoga fun. Mm-hmm. Yes, Robin, fun.
I can. Really. I have. I love it.
And Bulldog streaming online classes are available on demand, anytime, anyplace, on your schedule. Bulldog even has classes for kids and teens, so you can get your Bulldog on and get moving with the whole family.
Oh my God, I'm making my kids do it right now. And there are choices for all levels, from beginner classes for moi to heart pumping workouts for Jamie. And there are tons of class length options to fit your schedule. Classes can range from 12 to 60 minutes.
Yes, true. So you can try your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com.
Use the code OCT, y'all, and you're going to get an additional 50% off your first paid month. Again, one more time, that's bulldogonline.com. Coupon code OCT.
Go get that free month.
Namaste.
So you had two retrievals, basically. You got seven the first time. And then
the second time, it got to the point where they said you might not have enough eggs to share. So you either pay or quit.
And so what happened?
You can come back in 24 hours and we'll check. And I went back in 24 hours and they said, actually, you're doing better than we thought. We'll let you carry on. So they did. But they only
so
got
stressful.
Eight. Yeah, eight. And I came round from the retrieval and they said, you've only got eight. You're not going to be able to share. But we're not going to charge you.
Oh, how big of you.
Oh, wow.
But I felt terrible because this other lady would have been prepped alongside us. So she would have been taking the pill and be getting ready and waiting to have the transfer the same day as Kate. So it was a real blow because I felt like I really let her down. It took quite a bit to sort of bounce back from that.
Do you know if from the first donations, if anything
came of them? Got pregnant?
I don't know.
You don't. You and don't
have, are you ever able to find that out?
Yeah.
Is that something you might look into in
I
the
don't
future?
Know. I don't want to know in case it didn't work. Mm. I like to keep the hope alive that maybe it did. And I think if I find out it didn't, I might feel sad. So I don't
let's
know.
Let's not do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty easy about it. It's not something that weighs on my mind.
Well, in like 15 years from now, if someone does a DNA test and knocks on your door, it'll be like, I did it.
Yay.
Yeah, that's that question answered.
Okay, so you do the second retrieval. You get four eggs. You're keeping all four eggs. And then what happens? Yeah.
So the transfer took, didn't it?
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you got pregnant. Yeah,
you did. Yeah. She's like, sure.
I think so. I don't know. She's like, I was pregnant.
So many.
Yeah. Did they put one egg each time?
One. Okay. Yeah, they've got quite a strict rule about only transferring one in the UK unless you beg or you've got special circumstances.
Wow, it's so different here. It really is.
And the fact of the matter that you said, did it work, didn't it, means that I'm assuming that one didn't go the course.
Come to a baby,
so we then, I miscarried at 8 weeks, but then we found out at our 12-week scan, which was delightful.
Oh, oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah. I was kind of, you know, weirdly okay about it. I mean, I think a little while after we had we never argue. No. We never argue. And actually, a couple of weeks after, I worked a ridiculous amount of days in a row. And I'm an event organizer and I worked crazy hours. And I kind of came home from 19 days on the trot and I was exhausted and we just had an argument. And actually, and Claire just said to me, you have to go and get some help. You have to talk about this. And I was like proper British, no, I'm not talking about it. Really angry, went down like a teenager to the bedroom.
Did Claire slide our BetterHelp promo code under the door? She was like, betterhelp.com, OCT. And she slid it right under the door.
Luckily, I had free counseling sessions through our work. So I did that. 6 weeks of just chatting to this lady who never spoke. I don't think she'd ever spoken to a gay person in her life, let alone a gay woman, a lesbian going through IVF. And I kind of gave her an education as we went along.
Reciprocal IVF on top of that. There's a lot to learn here. Yeah. They can do that?
The story of everything out here.
Yeah. Yeah, when we got pregnant that time and we got our midwife, we went to see our midwife and explained how we got pregnant. And she looked at us and just went, oh, so yeah, I suppose you can do that. Okay. We were like, right.
It's like, it is 20, whatever. It is 2018. Right. I don't even care if it's 2010. Like, come on. Like, how are we explaining this to you for the first time?
Yeah. And then she proceeded to get out. I don't know if you guys have the same thing, but the wheel. the wheel that tells you
your due date.
Oh. And it's like this little cardboard slidey wheel.
Yes. I remember that from back in the day.
From like the 70s.
Yes,
probably. But like, you know your exact due date because...
No, don't tell this lady that.
She was like, according to my wheel.
Yeah.
And you were like...
We argued about the due date. Yeah.
We were like, it's the 15th of November. And she's like, no, it's not. No.
I've got my wheel right here.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So you had to get some help.
You can't make this shit up. Like, these are the things we deal with. It's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? She's like, no, that's
my wheel.
I
just also want to say, when you all emailed us, you were like, you know, it's a pretty basic story. Not a lot happens. Like, we have been shocked 4 times already. We're like, and then what happened?
I just think because everyone has such amazing stories on your show, we're like, oh, we're quite boring.
No. All right, listen up, all you new parents or parents-to-be. We have got something that you are going to want to put on your registry right now. The Qubo AI. It's the first smart baby monitor to apply AI detection to baby sleep, safety, and memories. Come on.
No, I wish this had existed when my kids were babies. This is a game changer. I'm so jealous.
I'm with you. First of all, Qubo AI has video quality so crisp that you can see your baby's stomach moving. I mean, it's high def.
If I could tell you the number of times I wasted, the number of minutes I wasted checking on my children's breathing at night, I still do it.
Oh, yeah.
I still check on them.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been all over this.
Oh, but Jamie, that's not all it does.
I know.
It alerts you when your baby's face is covered or when they roll over. Mm-hmm. It alerts you when they cry, and you can adjust the sensitivity on that so that you're not alerted for small cries or baby talk. And you can also set danger zone alerts like the crib railing or the staircase, and Qubo AI will send alerts when the baby crosses that threshold. And all of these alerts can be turned off or adjusted if you're not into them.
Right. So your preference, right?
Right.
So
it's cool. Amazing.
It's brilliant. It also gives you... Listen, guys, sleep analytics gives you lullabies, 18-hour playback, and event tags. So, like, it shows you when any sleep events happen that you might want to go back and watch. Isn't that crazy?
So obsessive.
Mind blown. I love it. It also offers family sharing, which allows you to put up to 8 accounts onto it so that you can share with loved ones. And then they can say hi to your baby or catch up on the latest auto-captured moments. You know, like, it's cool.
Oh,
I feel
love
close,
that.
Even from afar.
This is next level. But it's got a cute little bird design, so it looks nice in the nursery. I mean, I can't, I know we said this, but I'm so sad it didn't exist for us.
Me too. Honestly, really mad and jealous. But I hope you guys enjoy it.
Oh my God, you're gonna. So here's what we're gonna do for you all. Go to getqubo.com and use code OCT for a discount off your order.
You guys need to do this for peace of mind, at least. Anything for peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's getqubo.com and use code OCT for a discount off of your order.
Woo!
This is amazing.
So how long did it take you before you decided to try again? I mean, I know you need to heal and emotionally and physically.
So we think we took about 6 months out that time, I think, and before the frozen one. We did a frozen one of that round, but we were both like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because we just had really bad vibes on it and it didn't work.
And it wasn't 6 months because that was July and we did it again in October.
Okay, yeah. Just the 3.
Felt like sex though, right?
Because
you're in that wheel. You can't stop. You can't stop.
So. Yeah, exactly. Each time we had a new fresh, we changed sperm as well because we just thought, if that doesn't work, what can we change? So we changed the sperm again.
And also the biggest thing was you read the Starts With The Egg book.
My Bible.
Yeah. And
that's Jamie.
You know, overnight, the plastic has gone from the house. You know, we can't touch till receipts anymore.
Yeah, till receipts. That was the worst.
Me too. I was like, I was so afraid to, but I didn't want to offend like the clerk at the store. So I would like take it and then like drop the receipt real fast.
My jumper.
So like, do you want your receipt? No.
No, I don't want, I don't want that receipt. I don't want that poison. It's so funny. Just for those
what are you trying
you,
to kill me?
For those of you at home, there is some chemical on these receipts from cash registers or from credit card machines that can interfere with your ability to get pregnant. I don't know the science of it, but
I don't know.
Kate, were you on board with the disappearing plastics, or were you like, what in the hell? Where's my mug?
You hated me reading that book because I'd read it in bed and every night I'd tell you a snippet about the next thing we can't have or have to do.
But you got quite extreme, and like the diet, like everything got banned, the diet. I mean, we'd already given up alcohol and coffee and sugar and did the lot. And then it got kind of quite extreme.
Yeah, but then I gave up like sweet style vegetables. So like the sweet potatoes, squash, carrots.
I only read the chapter that pertained to my particular issue. So I don't know all of the things that you can give up. That was not in my list of things to give up. I had to like change all my hair products and my beauty products and all that. And I did not give up alcohol, which I probably should have. But I definitely did not. So there's
this
that.
Is the most Jamie of Jamie that she only read her chapter. Yeah. This is the most Jamie in a nutshell.
But that's, I've just read the book because we're trying again, but we're swapping. So we've just been through a cycle with my ex, and I finally read the book, and I did a Jamie. So I just read the bits that I wanted to read.
Yeah.
And Claire's like, no, you have to read every chapter. That's you have to read it all. And I'm like, yeah, but we've already got rid of the plastic and the till receipts. And
we don't do that anymore. Yeah. I mean, the author, even in the beginning, said, you can just skip right to the part. Here's the table of contents.
I'm sorry.
Go to your particular problem because I've laid out plans for each particular problem. So I just followed the directions she gave me, you see. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we changed our life, basically.
And we also got an amazing acupuncturist who was weirdly based in Cornwall and Bristol, which is an hour away from our clinic. So we could see her in both locations, which was amazing. And she's actually a really good friend now, but she was like a therapist, an acupuncturist, a nutritionist, just everything, and specialized in fertility as well.
So. Because you're, what you don't realize about acupuncture before you do it is you're not just there and getting needles in and then leaving. You are in that room with them. My acupuncturist, I can't believe how much I talked to that guy. Like, I opened up about everything in my life to this dude. They become everything to you. It's so funny. Yeah. Because you're with them in the room for so long while they do this and they do that and they, you know, and then you have to meditate. And
And that she was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And even now, like, she happened to get pregnant similar time to us as well. So, yeah, we talked to her quite a bit about all of our ailments still, even though we're not paying her.
So after you started doing the book, that's when it worked the first time?
Yeah. So yeah, then we did. So we thought we got one final throw of the dice, I think, because like nothing in the UK is free. We pay for every bit of treatment. So this was like our last attempt. We're just going to throw everything at it.
Because now you can't donate them at this point.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't have enough eggs. So yeah, a little bit of pressure taken off because we knew we didn't have to share. Everything just sort of clicked, I think, really. And when you went in for the transfer, you were...
And we changed sperm.
Yeah. And when we went in for the transfer, you were really chilled.
Yeah. And we've got to, like, know everyone in the clinic because we'd been going there for, like, 3 years.
Yes.
So they were like, hi again. And they were all really lovely.
And the consultant shook your hand when you got off the bed. And we were like, it felt very final. It felt like, goodbye. We're not going to see you again.
Yeah. And I got a hug from the nurse who was like... This amazing nurse was like proper, quite scary, but like total heart of gold and amazing. And she gave me a hug and they all kind of like looked at us like, oh, she doesn't normally do that.
Mm.
But that time we did put two embryos in because I think they felt so sorry for us and we've been there so many times.
Right.
But they said, why not put two in? And we were like, do you know what? We'll take, like everyone says, and I'll take twins, I'll take triplets.
We'll after that long.
Yeah. As they were putting it in, the stoic, scary nurse went, you're brave, aren't you? Just as it was going in, I was like, thanks.
Too late.
Yeah, too late.
Oh, you're like, wait, don't say that, please. Don't say that.
Yeah. But luckily one took.
Yeah.
And
then along came our son.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's amazing and beautiful. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And before we talk about what's coming after, you mentioned you're trying now. Are you, Kate, under the 35, so you're getting the free jobby again or no?
Oh, you're kind, but no.
Oh, bummer. You look like it. You look 9. You both do.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, so we've done one. We did it in November. We had a egg collection and a transfer, and that didn't work. So we've got 2 in the freezer that I'm going to have any day now. one put in. Okay. And I think if that doesn't work in me, we're going to put them in you.
Yeah, so we've got two of mine and one of Claire's in the freezer.
You still have one from before. Yeah.
So if the one doesn't work in Claire, then I will go again and I will take, if they'll let us, one of mine and one of Claire's.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
See what happens.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
I feel like if you're paying, you should have whatever you want within reason.
Right? Yeah. Do what I said.
That's exciting. Can I ask, I'm assuming the prices are similar between UK and the States, but how much does an IVF cycle cost?
I think it costs us £6,000. So that's about
$10,000.
It's
much cheaper.
In the States, it's 10 to 15, just depending on things.
Mm.
Interesting.
And I love your fluidity with the donor, that you don't seem to have attachments. You're just like, we switched donors, like just to, because you knew you needed to make something up.
Yeah, I think we didn't feel like each time we could keep the same thing. We felt like we had to make some real positive changes each time. And that was one thing we could do that we have over like heterosexual couples. You can't just ditch your husband if it doesn't work.
Yeah, you can't do that. Or requires a very, very big conversation then.
We also had a situation where when we went back for our third fresh cycle, the clinic said to us, we're not accepting sperm from the sperm bank that you use because they haven't been following the HFEA protocol. And we were like, well, we've got sperm on ice with them. And they were like, well, sorry, we're not accepting that anymore. So we were like, oh, shit. Well, what do we do? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we said, like, who do you accept it from? And they gave us like three choices. Mm-hmm. And two of the banks had men who'd had like chlamydia and who'd smoked and stuff. What? And there was no information on them either. What? So we were just like, no, we're not using that. And then they said, oh, we do use this bank in America. And we were like, okay,
let's
have a look at that. And then we found a guy on there that we really liked. Mm. You guys put so much more information and effort into your donor profiles, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, you don't get a picture. You get like a few words. It's just
poor. I guess because the reasoning is you shouldn't care what the person looks like. You just
I think it's but I think
you should be grateful
because you don't get paid. You're not allowed to be paid. You're only allowed to be compensated.
Yeah.
So the market isn't there, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We had season 2 or 3, we had a donor from the UK.
Nate, right?
Nate. Yeah. And he talked a lot about that.
Okay. So then you had to switch to the US bank. And then what happened to the sperm you had on ice? You just had to throw it out?
No, we sold it back.
Give it away?
They took it back, luckily.
They took it back full price?
No, half price, I think.
That's the US too.
Yeah.
Or our bank was like half price. They would take it back, which is so crazy.
If you leave it on ice in their facility. If you bring it
Which is such a racket.
It's
it
crazy.
Never left your facility. Mm. You can't, 75% at least.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's just, ugh. Okay, folks, let's talk therapy. Better yet, let's talk BetterHelp.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, if you have listened to this podcast even once at all, you know Robin and I are huge fans of BetterHelp.
We just are.
Yeah.
It got us through a rough patch together.
It
helped Jamie and I individually. It's helped my wife. I mean, you can definitely call us fans.
Yeah. BetterHelp is online therapy that is done securely online.
Mm-hmm.
You go to their website, sign up, and you can start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours.
Oh, my God. Amazing. And it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling, and everyone needs to understand that. And there's a broad range of expertise that's available, which may not be locally available in many areas. So you can possibly find someone more qualified or perfectly qualified to deal with your particular situation when you may not have been able to find that locally.
Mm-hmm. It's super accessible. And you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. And you're going to get a timely and thoughtful response, which I do a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And guys, financial aid is available.
BetterHelp is committed. I just love them so much. They're committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed, which is difficult to do. It's hard to break up with a therapist.
Oh my God, so hard.
And they make it easy.
I know.
It's like texting to break up with someone.
Yeah, right. So guys, BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today.
Visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's better, H-E-L-P. And you're going to join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, Robin, so yes. many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Oh my God. So you get therapy and a job. Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And if these Ovaries Could Talk listeners are going to get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
OCT.
You guys emailed us, and Jamie and I were so excited because you were talking about, you said, and we love, by the way, when people email us and say, you haven't talked about this or you haven't talked about that, mm-hmm. and here's a conversation. We're always like, well, then you be that person. Let's talk about it. But you said we hadn't talked about like what happens after you get the baby, other than Jamie and I complaining about our children. You didn't say that. I did. And we were like, yes, let's come on and talk about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how's it been? How is it going?
And yeah, it was an interesting time. I think for me, it felt like you've just done this whole marathon of IVF and you've been on that complete roller coaster. And then you kind of get to the end of that marathon and you're like, oh, okay, I've got to carry on and do the marathon of pregnancy now. Mm-hmm. Actually, I loved pregnancy. I absolutely loved it. I was like, total, like, I've never really been that body confident. But when I got pregnant, I was like, yes, tight tops. I'm just showing off that belly. I don't know what happened to me. I just loved it. Like, the hormones were amazing. Yeah, so you do that. You do that whole journey. And then my labor was quite intense. He was 15 days overdue.
Ooh.
He should have been born. Well, his due date was the 12th of December and he came on the 27th. Poor boy.
Wow.
And
those hormones must have been really good for him in your womb too.
I think it's to do with the amount of roast dinners I was eating around Christmas. I was just trough. I honestly, you were scared of me with the amount of food that I ate. Like,
just so angry.
Yeah, like I nearly pushed an old woman down the stairs to get to the like sandwich section in a shop.
It's amazing.
The moment I got pregnant, I was hungry, and our son now is hungry all the time. Mm-hmm. And I swear it was just him like eating everything.
Yeah,
you do that marathon of pregnancy, and then I had a marathon labor of 48 hours, which then ended up in an emergency C-section. When they said, actually, you need to have a C-section, we were both like, oh, yeah, yeah, fine, just get out. But we had this amazing moment. And Claire took the most incredible photo. And I don't know how you managed to do it. But I saw him come out of me when they lifted him out of me because he was stuck in my pelvis. So I was kind of being chucked around a lot. And then as they took him out of me, Claire took a photograph. And because of the theater lighting, it's all kind of dark apart from him just kind of reaching out with his hands like that. I think that moment for me really helped me because I connected with him immediately. You know, I could see I had given birth to him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I can only speak for my C-section. Sorry to interrupt, but like the connection didn't happen immediately for me because I think that there is that divide where he's just pulled out of me.
Yeah.
And they bring him around the curtain and I was like, oh, okay, wow. And you're so drugged up. Yeah. And like, yeah, there was a lag for me.
I think the same for you because you only said the photo helped later on because it made the connection of what happened later and you could reflect on it by looking at pictures.
But I do, no, I do remember him coming out of me and I held on to that because, you know, everybody talks about this. Well, not everybody, actually. When you actually start to speak about it, people don't have that rush of love. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't get it, that kind of instant connection. It kind of has to grow.
I was banking on that rush of love. I was banking on it and I didn't get it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I had a similar thing. I've heard you speak, Jamie, where, you know, my mum told my story of being born as this kind of, you know, she was 10 centimeters dilated with a bit of backache and they got to the hospital. I mean, I was child number three, but was an amazing textbook.
Just
wonderful
slipped
birth.
Right out.
Yeah.
You just slipped right out. Oh, yeah. It was just beautiful. Like, really, Mom?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my God.
I thought maybe that would happen to me. And I had, you know, the dreams of the water birth and the kind of hypnobirthing.
Oh, that bloody hypnobirthing book. And she'd say all these things, don't do this, don't do that. And it's like a stick to beat yourself with because I'm in there. I love a book and I love someone telling me what to do. And we were there like, she didn't really recommend. Oh, we shouldn't really be doing this. And, you know, you go down the induction route, you're going to end in a C-section. You might as well tear that sodding hypnobirthing book up and put it in the fire.
Yeah, those books will really screw with your head. What's the name of the late Ina? I don't remember her name. they're big honking books. And she's got all these theories and how you're going to make it natural and blah, blah, blah. And every night in the bed, Anne was like, oh God.
The one thing she said that I thought was so valuable was that the more attached you are to a birth plan, the more likely you are to have postpartum. Mm-hmm. And I think we do a real disservice. And I think some of those books, and like, again, that Jamie always says, no judgment, like you find help where you need it. Yeah. But I do think that sometimes we want this baby so much and we don't have the baby and we're just in this waiting pattern. So we go to these books and we think, I'm going to do it perfectly. I'm going to do it right. And then you get ideas of how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And the first lesson in parenting is getting pregnant is it's not up to you. Mm. Like none of this is up to you. And if you want it a certain way, you're much more likely to be depressed after. Mm. And, you know, I think that's, I wish more people knew that. I wish more people were able to be flexible and know the baby's coming, how the baby's coming.
Mm. Yeah. And I think I sort of told myself that, but I don't know. I think I was still kind of quite set on being as natural as possible. But then do you know what? Once we were in the process of the labor, I did 13 hours without any pain relief. And then I kind of, because it was Christmas, I got induced on Christmas Eve. I went into labor Christmas Day morning. And then we went into hospital Christmas Day evening. Mm. And there was literally no room at the inn for me. So I had to be, I was behind a curtain in the post.
Yeah. We're in the postnatal ward.
Postnatal ward, yeah.
Very weird.
And I was laboring behind that. And at like 3 o'clock in the morning, we dressed me up as Mary in a blue sheet. Mm. Because there was no room. And finally, at like 5 in the morning, we got into the birthing suite.
The lesbian
and,
Mary.
And I kind of went, can I have a paracetamol, please? And then I went on the drip. Mm. And then they said, oh, I said, I don't want an epidural. I don't want one. And the midwife was like, you're on the drip. You're going to last about an hour. And then after an hour, I was like, yeah, bring it in.
Give me that.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. But then, you know, I was quite like, whatever at that point. Aren't you? You're just like, just do what you need to do. Just get him out.
I think when it comes to a story like yours or a story like mine, I went in with an open mind too. Like I knew I couldn't plan what was going to happen. I had seen my wife give birth. You know, I was all set to go with the flow and go with the punches. And then what happens is it starts to turn kind of tragic and it starts to get very shocking. And your brain and your body can't process what is happening because you are just in this high adrenaline crazy state and shit is going down in that room and your brain is not really there for it. And so what happens is after the fact, you start to process the trauma that you just went through that you really didn't realize in the moment, you know? And I think that that's a really big factor for having a hard time afterwards too.
Yeah. And I think like after he was born and we went back to the ward, we hadn't slept for 3 days.
4 days.
And you'd been on like a chair for ages. And I just said, I said to her, I was like, do you want to just get in my bed? And like, you didn't say anything. You just was like, yes. Like just got straight in. And you were lying next to me and I was like, you're shaking. And you were like, no, I'm not. I was like, yeah, you are. And you were just like constantly shaking. I think it was probably worse for you at times because you could see me going through everything. Mm-hmm.
Because you're the cognizant one. I mean, you're the one watching it all go down.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's quite traumatic watching someone have a C-section as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
An emergency C-section at that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we went into the reciprocal thing thinking, you'll have a connection because you gave birth and I'll have a connection because biologically they'll be mine. But what we didn't ever consider was maybe we'd feel like, I don't have a connection because I didn't give birth and you don't have a connection because he's not biologically yours. And that, you know, it's never materialized. We don't feel like that at all. But I think in that blind panic of all that, no sleep and all that coming to the surface, you think, what if we have got this all wrong? Mm. Maybe this wasn't the right way to go.
Because of the C-section and the epidural, my milk was really late coming in. And I didn't know that. Nobody had ever told me. And then the day we came home from hospital, he'd been nicely filled up on colostrum, of which I'd been milked nicely in hospital by the midwives. When we came home, he kind of was sleeping and we managed to have a pizza and we were like, yeah, okay, okay, we can do this. We're winning. It's all right. And then sort of 1 o'clock in the morning, he just screamed and screamed and screamed. And we were like, we haven't slept for 4 days.
He's broken. He's broken.
What have we done? What have we done? And like, we spent all our money on this.
So I had to ring my mum and dad, and mm-hmm. I was like, I think he's just hungry, but I don't have any milk. Can you just go to the supermarket and get him some formula? Because I don't have anything. And my mum breastfed me, so she had no idea about formula. So they like went into the supermarket like 1 a.m. and went, we need baby milk. Where is it? Who's got a baby? And I came back to our house. You had no idea about formula. So Claire and my mum were like, just filled up this entire bottle of formula.
No.
And gave it to our son, and then who promptly drank all of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's greedy.
He's hungry.
And then went to sleep.
And he was good for like 4 hours.
And he was like totally like, yeah.
And then I read the back the next day and it's like newborns, you give them like.
Like this much. Yeah, it's like 2 ounces. Yeah.
That's amazing. But that's the thing. And this is why we wanted to have this conversation, because there's so much you don't realize when you take that baby home after all of this is said and done. There's so much that's not talked about.
Yeah.
The formula mm-hmm. thing, the milk.
The connection thing.
The connection thing, especially with families like ours who are doing things like reciprocal IVF, and we don't know how we're going to feel after. We have this idea of how golden and glorious this is all going to go down, but.
And how intentional we are to make mm-hmm. this plan.
Yeah.
We feel like it's supposed to. And it's not just like our plans. It's also society is telling you that you are supposed to be connected to your baby mm-hmm. immediately, and you're never supposed to be mad at them. And there's all these people that make you feel bad if you don't like talk about your baby like they're the most wonderful, incredible thing in the history of man.
Like if you mm-hmm. if you spend
it's
the
a lot
next
of pressure
week bawling your eyes out because you don't know what the hell you just did and why the fuck you just did it, and mm-hmm. holy shit, what have I done to myself? You know, like that can happen too, and that's totally normal, and that's totally okay. And if it does happen to you, you need to know that that will pass, and you will have a bond with your baby. You will, you know.
When did it pass for you guys? When did you feel like connected, or can you even say? Because I've been thinking as we're talking for me, but so I'm wondering if you know.
I don't know really.
I think
it feels like every day I like love him more, and
yeah.
I feel. Mm-hmm. Like every day is better in that sense. But I think like we were just out of whack for probably a couple of weeks.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. The day after the formula incident, I rang the midwife, and we went, she just was amazing. She was like, just come to the hospital. We'll like build you a little nest in a room and we'll just hang out there all day. And
oh,
we'll
that's
just,
so amazing.
We'll just practice breastfeeding and yeah, just hang out. This amazing woman came in who was quite scary, and she just kind of grabbed his head and just shoved it on my boob. And I've got quite a large chest. So kind of me wrangling a breast and a baby's head was really complicated.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
She was really quite like forceful with him. And I was like, whoa, that's more forceful than I thought you'd need to be. And our midwife was there as well, and she just talked to us, didn't she? And we both broke down and cried, and she was amazing at just letting us get it out. And then we went home that night, and it clicked for me and him. He fed. I didn't have any milk, but he latched on, and it was, yeah, it was incredible. And then a couple of days later, my milk came in. And then about, I think maybe a week or 2 weeks later, we went to Starbucks, and I was trying to like do one of my first
public feeds.
Yeah.
And God bless you.
Oh, and those are so hard. And you look at your
moms, never did
and you
it.
Think they just have it. They got it in the bag.
Yeah.
You need to know how nervous new moms are. Even like when you see a new mom wearing the baby Bjorn with a little tiny newborn, I always used to think, oh, she's got it. She's good. No, she's probably so nervous right
yeah.
now. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. She's afraid he can't breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. She's afraid he's going to scream his head off any minute.
And then everyone's going to look
yeah.
bad.
Mm-hmm, and I remember mm-hmm. just kind of being there trying to like do it. And I was getting really hot and sweaty. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. And you said to me, well, do you want me to help? Mm-hmm. Claire had been taking herbs and stuff before.
Yeah, so that we could both do breastfeeding. So, yeah, so that kind of took the pressure off a bit. That we
and
could
it,
both
and,
do it.
And it worked?
Well, like it kind of works. Like, well, because he's greedy, I never made enough milk to properly, like, I think I did one night feed where I fed him to sleep, and that was like my win. You know, I mean, one feed out of like a gazillion, but
I'll take it. I'll take it. It was amazing. Hey, listen, I was just lying there in bed and I was like, he's not crying anymore. It's gone quiet. I can go back to sleep. And that's another thing, like nobody talks about, well, people do, but there's a lot of pressure to say you must breastfeed. But like, yes, for me, you know, especially at the beginning with Wilfred, that's our son, not having any milk at the beginning, we had formula for a few days for me until my milk was fully in. But I never put any pressure on myself to say, okay, well, if he's going to have formula, then he's going to have formula. Mm. I want to try and breastfeed. I really wanted to breastfeed. And
so did I.
But I think there's two camps, isn't there? And there's a lot of pressure from both sides. And it really is down to you and what you want to do and what's right for you and your baby, isn't it? So
I wish more people came from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what ended up happening to me. I had all this guilt. I wanted it to work. It just wasn't working. He wouldn't latch. The lactation consultant came in on like day three or whatever when we were home, and she looked at him and she goes, oh yeah, he's tongue-tied, which is like the word, like it's just the, like there have, I don't understand how there is no, it feels like no compassion for new moms and what we're going through.
Yeah.
And the way they can treat us is just so dismissive and like, you have no idea how devastating that can be to a new mom who's super fragile. Mm-hmm. If it turns out that this next, and if this is too invasive of a question, don't answer or just tell me to shut up. But if it doesn't work out and you guys do switch back to Kate carrying, are you going to feel a loss? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, because after the first one didn't work, I was sort of thinking, maybe I don't want this that badly. I've never really wanted to be pregnant. Oh. But then when Kate was pregnant, I thought, oh, no, I could do this. And especially when he was just born. And we sort of been back and forward on it, haven't we? And I just sort of thought, I want to give it one more go. And if it doesn't take, then I've given it my best shot. And that's enough for me. I think I probably will, maybe a tiny part of me be sad. But I think the most important thing is that he has a sibling. Uh-huh. The next important thing is that maybe Kate gets to have a biological child. And the third most important thing is for me to carry. So I'm happy to kind of rationalize it that way.
That's beautiful. And that's
so intentional.
Yes. And that's the beauty of our families and how they're made and how we get to choose how it goes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't get to choose. Sometimes we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But we have options.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's nice that we've got options and we've still got a couple of shots left.
Well, I hope that it happens really soon for you all.
Thank you.
I'm just putting that out into the universe.
Me too.
Thanks.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you guys reached out to us and shared your story. This was such an awesome conversation. And this is going to be so helpful. Like I can't even believe that you said for a second that your origin story was boring or uneventful. It's like it was wonderful.
Yeah, there's
thank
a lot.
You. Appreciate it.
I feel like we could talk for hours and I
days.
I mean, this is a subject I could talk forever about because you're right. When you reached out to us, it's like, this stuff needs to be talked about more. Us women need a voice.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said, we had an amazing midwife and there was a moment where she came round on her like final round and she said to us, it's okay. You've been on a massive journey and it's okay. And we both were like, and like, we didn't realize.
Yeah, that we'd held it all in.
Yeah.
So tight. It's like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
I love them. Anybody who writes an email to Helen is A-okay on my list.
Absolutely. I just love them so much.
Oh my God, I love them.
I hope that their second pregnancy comes to them easily. And I hope that they don't have a huge, long, drawn-out thing. That's what we wish for everyone.
Yes.
And then
sending baby juice
after they're pregnant.
Baby does.
I'll let them know how hard two kids 2 years apart is. But I'm not going to tell them that before.
You just did.
Well, they're not. No one listens to the outro, Jamie. It's fine.
I want you guys to write to us and tell us you listened to this outro and be like, Robin, how dare you? Anywho. All right, guys. So if you haven't bought our book yet, go buy that book. Buy it for your friends. Buy it for your parents if you're thinking about starting your baby-making journey. Buy it for all your friends. Buy it for your straight allies. Make a straight person an ally by giving them our book. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, what else can
you
we
also
do?
Get the audio book if you want to hear us read to you.
Yeah,
it's called, available on Amazon and iTunes.
Yeah, the book is called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've learned about making an LGBTQ family.
All right, and if you get it, don't be afraid to review us on Amazon or Goodreads. All right, Jamie, let's keep this party going. You can join us on the social. We're everywhere, all the time, at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, and that is a place where you can see all of our live streams plus other random bonus content. And also, don't forget that our live streams are on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays.
All very true. And you can support our podcast by joining our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, like we said, you're going to get bonus content there.
So I think, much bonus
how many times can we say bonus content
also,
in
like,
an episode?
At what point did we make too much content?
It's
all right.
Never enough.
Our sponsors, Bulldog Yoga, Kubo AI, and BetterHelp. And a huge thank you for all you folks who are already our Patreon members and who are helping us make this show. We thank you.
We really do thank you so much. And we thank you for just tuning in general.
Thank you so much.
This is all right.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Take Helen out.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy and Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.